Guru Kripalji, just make us have your darshan. This is the Bhajan Satguru Kripalji Darshan Dikanda on page 58. We the jivas are burning in the fire of egoism. This is the country of the negative power. We are afraid and terrified. O giver, showering grace, just save the dying ones. We got tired wandering in the world. We visited every place. O giver, we did not find any other place except your door. The beggars are standing at your door. Just give some alms. Remove the pain of birth and death. Deep is the ocean of life. Holding our hand, liberate us. Save us from the trap of Maya and attachment. You are present within everyone, but it is difficult to see you. You are the Lord. You are merciful. But your name is Kripal. Graciously, O giver, just unite the separated ones. We did many rites and rituals and performed the austerities. We even bathed in the places of pilgrimage, but did not find the beloved of the heart. O Kripalji, just remove the pains of Ajay. O Sadguru Kripalji, just make us have your darshan. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 58.
Om Mehangata Agadevi Chajiva Asi Sararahe Kaladae Deshe Darade Asi Hadararahe Karake Daya Datiya Marateva Chanda Jazara Karake deya datiya maradeva chanda jazara Satguru kirpal ji darshan dikanda jazara Take fir jagate koi pitana chadiya Tere dar to bhajadata koi na dar labia Take fir jagate koi pitana chadia Tere dar to bhajadata koi na dar labia Mangate darte kare tu kirapanda jazara. Mangate darte kare tu kirapanda jazara. Satguru kirapalaji darshan dikanda jazara. Jamanete marada ehe tukuran nivarade Mahabhikara bhavasagara baho paraketarade Jamanete maranade ehe tukuran nivarade Mahavikara bhava sagar baho parake tarde Jalamaya moda eto pachanda jazara Jalamaya moda eto pachanda jazara Satguru kirpalaji darshan dikanda jazara Gata gata devicha vasariha Paira dekana muhalahe tu ravahe rahimahe paranamato kirpalahe gata gata devi cha vasariha para dekana muhalahe tu ravahe rahimahe Paranamato kirpalahe Rehemakara kedatiya Vichare milanda jazara Rehemakara kedatiya Vichare milanda jazara Sataguru kirpalaji Darshande kanda jazara Kite karma kanda sare Dune avita palaye Labiana dilda jani Tirtate nahalaye Vite karma kanda sare dune vita palaye Labhyana dilda jani tirtate nahalaye Kirpala jiya jayabade dukare mitanda jazara kirpala jiya jayabade dukare mitanda jazara satguru kirpala ji darshan dikanda jazara Sataguru kirpala ji darshan dekanda jazara.
O Sataguru kirpala ji, just make us have your darshan. And I want to read today a talk which I love and which I've read a number of times, and some of you will probably be very familiar with it. I think it cannot be heard too many times personally. But the reason I want to read it today is that this talk was given exactly 55 years ago today, on September 2nd, 1963. And it is the first extended talk that I ever heard from Master Kirpal. And it was actually only the second day that I had ever seen him physically. And this leads up to it, as I'm reading from my book. The master spent the summer in Europe. He flew into Washington, D.C. on September 1st, 1963. We, Judith and me, left the kids with my parents and drove down to see him, not without some apprehension. We are expecting so much from him, how could we help but be disappointed? We missed his arrival at the airport, but drove straight to Mr. Khanna's house on Delafield Place, where he was staying. When we got there, it was about 3:30 p.m., and Mr. Khanna told us that Master was just leaving for the Friends Meeting House to hold satsang, and we could follow him over. We jumped in the car, backed into a driveway across the street so that we were facing the house directly, and just at that instant, Master came out. We had a marvelous darshan for just half a minute. Even now, after seeing him many hundreds of times, I cannot forget that first incredible sight of him coming out of the house and getting into the car. Just the way he held his magnificent head and walked out was moving beyond words. At sight of him, Judith burst into tears, and I was overwhelmed with a sense of my own triviality. Seeing him, I understood instantly why the books lay such stress on the company of saints. And of course, Master went over and did satsang at that point, at that afternoon. And we attended that satsang, and he gave a talk. Mostly he talked about his trip to Europe and things that happened there. We were in the back of the hall, and I didn't get a real sense of him. It was the next day that you could say he really zapped us. Master stayed in Washington for 27 days, but we were only there for 3 of them. The work on our house was calling us back. But a number of things that happened in those 3 days were memorable. The second day, September 2nd, he met with many of us very informally in his room at Mr. Connor's house. This was the first time we had seen him up close, and we were able to get a sense of what he was like. It was wonderful. Mr. Walter Cowan, a very prominent disciple from California, asked him, "What can we do to promote harmony throughout all our groups?" And the master answered as follows. "First of all, we should forgive and forget the past. That is the foremost necessity. As I told you in my talk last night, many misunderstandings creep up, and the majority of them are due to hearing through the ears of others and seeing through the eyes of others. Take it as if they had not told you, then you will be all right. Whatever has been done, if it is at all true that it happened, cannot be mended now. We have to forget. I tell you, the man who can forget is a very strong man. The majority of men cannot forgive. Forgiveness requires a very big heart. And how can those who do not like to forgive others expect forgiveness from God? We wish that we would be forgiven. We pray for that, is it not so? He will forgive us only if we forgive others too. If we don't forgive the God in others, how can the God who is there in others forgive us? Do you see? The first thing is to forgive. Not only to forgive, but to forget. Start afresh. And in the future, don't believe what others say. Others say what they have heard or seen. Unless you see something for your own selves or hear it with your own ears, don't believe it. If somebody tells you something unbecoming, know that a man has different moods. We are not perfect. If we have love for others, that very love beautifies even the worst of things. You have to see from that level. That's the only way. This is what should be done about the past. As for the future, you have to start your slate afresh. Many little things are already embedded in your mind. When others sometimes say, oh yes, it must be like that, you see it through the smoky glasses of the many things already lying within you. So the first thing I would say is to forgive and forget. And along with that, keep your diaries, introspect your day-to-day life, enter any infirmities on your part in your diaries and try to weed them out. This is the outward thing. The other is to devote regular time to the meditation practices. Both these together will work wonderfully. If you sit by fire, all cold will be gone. If you come in contact with the light and sound principle, naturally all infirmities will leave you. That is its effect. Some infirmities will go by outer self-introspection, and others will leave you by coming in contact with the God power within. In this way, you will grow in love. When love overflows, everything becomes new to us, and we will also have more progress from within. One thing which is still more important than all of these is to know that we are working for one common cause. As I told you last night, we have been brought into a relationship that can never end or break, even after death. We are grateful we have the human body. We are grateful we have some experience to start with on the way, and we are more grateful that we have been linked in such a relationship that it can never be broken. If anybody who is related to you, for instance, your child, slaps you in the face, what would you do? Would you kill him? You would simply say, all right, he's ignorant, that's all. When all of you are working for the one common cause before you, the more one can do, the better. The more each man can do, the more he will be respected by others. But mind that there should not be any egoistic feeling in what you do, that you are the greater man. Take the word world, W-O-R-L-D. If you eliminate the L from it, what remains is word. The word is God. If you eliminate yourself, the thought that you are doing it, you are God's. You become the mouthpiece of God. I think if you put this into practice for 2 or 3 months, you will find a radical change. Sometimes there is this spirit. Well, I know more. I am more important. We are important insofar as God works through us. And we are working all for Him. There is no need of caring whether anybody is watching you work or not. Be true to Him. He is within you. I think that in a very short time you will see for your own selves. You will grow more in love. If another man can do more, or if anybody comes up to help you, the more fortunate you are. There's no question of possession or domination. These are very simple things that I think all of you know already. I am not telling you anything new. First of all, we should forgive. We may have little daily dyings. Such and such man told me that. He thinks of me like that. That prepossessed idea is already within you, and you judge everything that happens with those smoky glasses. I think this will give you progress from day to day. You will find more love, and we should have confidence and trust in all those who are on the way. You can also have trust in others, for there are good people everywhere. But God knows you are selected to be good people. I remember an event in the time of the third guru of the Sikhs, Guru Amar Das. A man who was initiated was giving his small child a bath in the river, and somebody came running up to him and said, "Master wants you." What did he do? He left the child right where it was and ran to the master. And others asked him, "What are you doing? Your child will drown." "Oh, my brother is with him," he answered. We should have such like trust and confidence in one another. When we are all working from the same cause, what more is wanted? Don't look from the individual angle of vision. We have to look from the angle of vision we have been given. But this can develop only if we have no evil thought about anybody else. Even if anybody else does, it does not harm you. It harms you only when you take it for yourself. It so happened that somebody came up to Lord Buddha and began to call him names like anything. Sometimes you find such opposition comes up because there are rivals or parties. He came in the evening and he went on this way into the night. When a man is in an angry mood, he forgets everything all around him. It got dark. Then he thought, "Oh, it is getting dark. I have to go back." As he was turning away, Buddha told him, "Well, look here, dear friend." "Yes, what do you have to say?" "Look here. If someone brings a present and the person for whom he has brought it does not accept it, with whom does that present remain?" "Well, naturally, with the one who has brought it." "Well, whatever present you have brought me, I do not accept." These are the lessons we learn from the lives of great men. I have been very fond of reading biographies ever since I was a student. You will find there is something in each great man. We have to just follow in their footsteps. I tell you, to reach God is not difficult, but to make a man is difficult. We are all on the way to perfection. Some 10%, some 20%, some 40%, but we are not yet fully perfect. But we have to be perfect as our Father is in heaven. That is our goal. And God loves all, even those who call him names, who do not believe in him. Is it not so? If you want to realize the God in you, you should also do the same. I think this is the way. I have told you no new thing, but we should start with a clean heart. What is past is past. It should be forgotten. First forgiven and then forgotten. Even in forgiving, we say, "Oh, I have already forgiven you. Why should I forgive you again?" This was put to Master Jesus. He was asked, "What should we do to forgive others? How many times should we forgive them? What do the scriptures say? 7 times? Jesus said, "I say, forgive him 70 times 7. This scripture is not only meant for reading or ruminating over. It is to be learned. Whatever you learn should become part and parcel of your life, and you will change like anything. I think that you have put a very good question. I already gave you a hint yesterday that it is all up to us. If Mr. Khanna is there, or you are there, or Mrs. Kelly is there, or anybody, A, B, C, or D is there, they are working for the cause of the Master. There may be little flaws here or there, but if we look from the angle of love, we will see that everyone is doing his best in his own way. One thing more, we should learn appreciation of others. If you learn even that much, I think that it will sweep away all the dirt. It won't add any more dirt to it. Whatever little a man does, appreciate it. If he does more, appreciate it still more. Appreciation, I think, will save you from adding more trouble, more dirt to your mind. We don't appreciate others, I tell you. We all say, "I have done the most. What I can do, nobody else can do." When that I-hood enters in, it spoils the whole show. A little poison added even to something sweet will kill you. So again, it is not difficult to reach God, but it is difficult to make a man. It takes time. The human body is the golden opportunity we have, and we can do it. Each man can change. There's hope for everybody. Every saint has his past and every sinner a future. A man who is now reading in the MA class or has a PhD was once reading in the primary class. And if a man who is now reading in the primary class gets the same help and guidance, he too can get the same degree. We should look at everybody from his level. If you have an MA or a higher degree and you think, "Oh, why does he not do as I am doing?" that involves some condescension. These things, little by little added up, give the mind unrest. They also drive away every iota of love within you. Forgive and forget. Have appreciation for whatever anyone does. Do work for the sake of the common cause we have formed. Don't feel that others do less. Why not do your best? Each one should do his best and have appreciation for one another. I think this would be a very good ground for your meditation, too. These small thoughts vibrate. If you strike a small wire, it continues vibrating for some time. Every little thought vibrates. That is why, for some reason or another, our meditations are sometimes not good. You will remain a man outwardly. Master is a man like you. He has only 2 eyes, not 4. Do you see? He passes through the world and he becomes an example for others too. He does not have 4 hands or 4 feet for walking, but he has developed inwardly. You can also develop in this way. with proper help and guidance. Mr. Khanna asked the people in the back of the room if they could hear, which they could. And then Master says, "I don't give lectures, you see. I give heart-to-heart talks." Then Jerry Astra Turk, the group leader from Miami, said, "There are three beautiful children outside, and they are waiting for days to see you. Can I bring them in?" And Master replied, "Surely, oh yes, bring them in. Suffer little children to come. They are the budding hopes of the coming generation." The budding hopes. The children, teenagers from the neighborhood, did come in, and then someone said, "Master, give us that parable about bending the elbows again, would you please?" And the master said, what certainly has to be one of his favorite stories, the number of times he told this story, the number of places it can be read, the number of talks that it's in are very many. That seems very significant to me. The parable goes that the god Vishnu, who provides for the world, the same god but the aspect that is demarcated for a certain function, invited all the good and bad people, the gods and the demons, and prepared a very big banquet for them. The food was laid out and seats were arranged for everyone. They all sat together. Naturally, in events of this kind, the host has to say something. He said, "Ah, my dear friends, I welcome you. But there is one condition I have made, and that is, when you eat your food, don't bend your arms. Of course, only when you bend your arm will the food reach your mouth, not otherwise. It is all for you. Enjoy it." Those people who were called bad had not developed. The demons racked their brains and thought, "Well, what are we to do? How are we to reach our mouths?" They could not find any solution. So they said, "Perhaps we have been simply ridiculed," and they left the place. But the others who were still there said, "There must be something in it. Those who are developed do not say anything unnecessary. When you hear something from them, there is some meaning in it, something in it. We should try to understand." They came to the conclusion, "Yes, he said something very good. All right, we won't bend our arms. We will simply take the food and stretch out our arms and feed each other. If you stretch out your hand, it will reach my mouth. My hands will reach your mouth." This is a parable from which we have to learn. We only want to feed our own selves. If you would make others eat, make others happy, then I think all would be happy. There could be nobody who would remain unhappy. Share with others. This is given in all scriptures. They laid down the law of tithing, that is, giving something for the good of all the people. Some start with 1/40 until everything is given away for God. If we learn to share with others, there will be no feeling of otherness. What is causing all the trouble? One brother is rich, the other is poor. This one has been killed. That one is going hungry. Another does not care. I told some governors I met during this tour that all the problems of the governments will be solved. I told him, "Look here. You have been given custody of certain people under you. Look after their convenience to the best you can. Have love of service. Service of humanity is service of God. God has entrusted you with that. No matter what the number of people your country has, let them be served. You are responsible to God for that. If one country has more people to serve than it can manage, let the people of other countries manage to provide for them or transfer them to their country. Everything can be solved." And in two or three cases, they did change. And I would point out that in that brief paragraph, Master lays down a whole philosophy of government, which Satsangi should really, really, really pay attention to and take seriously. he's made all these points many, many other places, morning talks, the light of Kripal, various other places too. This was his view on the whole question of government, what government is for, question of immigration, question of borders, question of people in need. He laid it right down in very few words. It's all here. We should think that whatever we have, others certainly have the same right. In our dominating spirits, we simply spoil the show, just for a little I-hood. The L should be eliminated from world, and the word will remain. These things are given in our scriptures, but we simply ruminate and go on devouring anything, not taking anything to heart, and making it part and parcel of our lives. When I was young, I used to read my Scriptures of the Six. It's a very voluminous book covering over 1,400 pages, big size, and I think there are hundreds of hymns in it. I used to read only one hymn and then put it down in writing. I considered that that was the lesson given to me for the day. I read it once, twice, four times, all throughout the day, and sometimes for 2 days. If we read scriptures in that way, I think we will change. We simply read them and then forget what was written there. We listen to a talk and on the same day we forget what the subject of the talk was. We should first learn wholeheartedly by attending wholeheartedly and then grasp the meaning and make it part and parcel of our lives. The food which is digested will give you strength. If the food is not digested, it will create some disease, some ferment in the body. This is what has to be done. Everybody knows what is best, but we simply learn and forget. Don't learn anything to be forgotten. Learn one thing and other things will follow. Learn to love and everything will be all right. Service will follow. Sacrifice will follow. Everything will follow. Love always knows giving. One who loves won't eat, he will give to others. A mother won't eat even if she has to take the morsel out of her own mouth and give it to the child. Similarly, make one point in your life definite. Other things will follow. Be truthful. If you always tell the truth, who you are, what you are doing now, what you were doing last night. Naturally, if you are doing anything wrong, you will be ashamed. You will try not to do it again. Similarly, if you digest one thing and make it part and parcel of your life will change. I think so many of you know so much, perhaps in many cases more than I do intellectually. But the difference is only that you have not digested it. That's all. Mr. Khanna said, I think all group leaders and representatives are requested to get together at 3:30 for an hour or so we can talk things over in the presence of the Master. It's just for the leaders. And Master said, the leaders are as dear to me as you are. But if they have any difficulties in their work, we can have a heart-to-heart talk. It is only because you have some practical difficulties bothering you. This is what I suggested at the very beginning in 1955, that all representatives who were chosen should lay their heads together at regular intervals so as to see what the difficulties are and if there can be any solution to them. If all of you sit together and love each other, it will be a very good example for others. If you don't meet with any other person and you are talking too highly about your own self and denouncing others, that is a bad name on the very movement. Do you follow me? Someone asked, Master, would you just give us a couple of words on love before you go? The Master said, love. What is a sign of love? The questioner repeated, what is a sign of love? The Master said, yes, an outer sign. The one whom you remember, whom you love, is never forgotten, even in your dreams. so loved so much that even in dreams you see him. Even in your deep, sound sleep, you may be giving out the same thing. Out of the abundance of heart, a man speaks. That's all. And I want to read also the incident of the following day, which was extremely important in my understanding of the path and the Master, how the Master works, and also of my own inadequacy in dealing with that. The following day, September 3rd, Mr. Khanna had scheduled a press conference at the National Press Club building. I believe that was the name of the building. And we all went to see how the press would deal with the Master. But when we got there, there was no press. As somebody said, you can schedule a press conference, but you can't make them come. So we were all recruited to find reporters and persuade them to come. Betty Shiflett, an older disciple, and I went together and we found a reporter for Newsweek in her office. We talked very fast, and I showed her a picture of the Master I carried in my wallet, and she agreed to come with us. When we got back down to the auditorium, there were a number of reporters there, and one of them was talking with the Master. After listening to him a little bit, my heart sank. There was no doubt that that reporter had been drinking. But Master listened to him very patiently, answered all his questions, and treated him with great respect. In the meantime, the other reporters all got up and left. It seemed like a complete fiasco, yet the Master did not seem to know that. As we were leaving, one of the disciples said, "Master, you know that man was drunk." Master was in great spirits. He laughed and said happily, "That's all right." It was the first time, but not the last, in my experience, that Kripal had a totally different perspective on what was going on than everybody around him. You know, that particular incident, when it became obvious that the press conference was a fiasco, at least in everybody's eyes except the Master's, I've understood suddenly why St. Peter denied Christ three times when he was being put on trial. I'd always pondered about how could someone who knew what Jesus was, who had been with him throughout the ministry, and who later became, you know, obviously one of his foremost disciples, how could he deny him three times? But I realized, it suddenly occurred to me, that if anybody came up and asked me if I was connected with what was going on in there, that I might well say no, because it was so humiliating and embarrassing. It's like we all expected the Master had come and people are going to, you know, pay attention to him and care about him and want to ask, you know, good questions of him and get great answers and so forth. And it was not like that at all. And then when I realized that the reporter who was asking all those questions was really not quite sober, you know, it was like I couldn't believe how bad this was. And then the Master was in a totally different place. He was happy with everything. He didn't mind that there were no reporters there to start with, and he didn't mind that the reporter who asked him most of the questions was drunk. And he didn't mind that all the other reporters left. All of that was absolutely nothing to him. Wherever he was, whatever he was doing, you know, none of those things were a part of that. And I realized that his interest was entirely with that man who was asking him the questions, that he looked past and through his drunkenness, his obvious inability to be fully there. And he treated him as though he was fully there, as though he was not drunk. And I realized this is what he does with us all. He does not mind that we come to him in a state of complete and utter incomprehension, inability to grasp what he is giving us. He sees what we really are inside, and he approaches us from that level. And that is the beauty, you know, the power, the glory, the greatness of the Master. That is what he does. He relates to us from the level of what we really are, not on the level of how we see ourselves or how others see us or how we see others. That's the gist of it all.
Those creatures who are born by the semen and like the human beings and the four-legged animals, and he himself nourishes and sustains the lives of those creatures who are born because of the result of the change in the weather, and he himself finds out and nourishes and provides the creatures. He himself finds out the need and he provides the vegetation and the other creatures who are born in this world.
So mitr jane nanka
ਸਭ ਜਨਤਾ ਦੀ ਸਾਰ ਜਿਤਨੇ ਵੀ ਜੀਵ ਜੰਤ ਹਨ ਸਭ ਦੀ ਸਾਰ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੀ ਰੋਜੀ ਦੇਣੀ ਹੈ, ਕੌਣ ਭੁੱਖਾ ਹੈ. ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਭੁੱਲਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ, ਅਭੁੱਲ ਹੈ.
Now he says that God Almighty has the understanding and he has a knowledge of all the creatures and he knows that what kind of food he has to give to what creature. He never forgets and he always remembers them.
ਨਾਨਕ ਜੰਤ ਉਪਾਇ ਕੈ ਸੰਭਾਲੇ ਸਭ ਨਾ.
ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਸਭ ਜੰਤ ਪੈਦਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਸਭ ਦੀ ਉਹ ਸੰਭਾਲ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ. ਕਦ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੀ ਪੈਦਾਇਸ਼ ਕਰਨੀ ਹੈ, ਕਦ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੀ ਮੌਤ ਕਰਨੀ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਟਾਈਮ ਤੇ ਇੱਕ ਸਕਿੰਟ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਪਛੜਦਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਗਾ.
He says that after creating all the creatures, he himself protects them, he takes care of them. He knows that when someone has to be born and when someone has to die, and at the appropriate time, he doesn't get delayed even by 1 second.
ਔਰ ਉਹ ਰੋਜੀ ਦੇਣ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੇ ਐਬਾਂ ਕਨੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇਖਦਾ ਗਾ, ਕਿਸੇ ਦੇ ਉਹ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਨੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇਖਦਾ ਗਾ. ਉਹ ਸਭ ਨੂੰ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਭੈੜੇ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਦਿੰਦਾ, ਚੰਗੇ ਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ.
While giving food to the creatures, he doesn't look at their bad qualities. He gives food, he nourishes good ones as well as the bad ones.
ਜਿਨ ਕਰਤੇ ਕਰਨਾਂ ਕੀਆ ਚਿੰਤਾ ਪੇਂ ਕਰਨੀ ਤਾਂ.
ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਦੇਖ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੇਖ ਬਰਮ, ਬੜੀ ਸੋਚ ਵਿਚਾਰ ਦੀ ਗੱਲ ਹੈ. ਜਿਹਨੇ ਇਹ ਪ੍ਰਪੰਚ ਰਚਿਆ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਚਿੰਤਾ ਕਰੇ, ਜਿਹਨੇ ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਚਲਾਉਣਾ ਹੈ. ਇਨਸਾਨ ਫਜ਼ੂਲ ਹੀ ਆਪਣੀ ਚਿੰਤਾ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਜਿਹੜੀ ਕਿ ਚਿੰਤਾ ਇਸ ਦਾ ਕੁਝ ਸਵਾਰਦੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਿਵਾਏ ਬਿਮਾਰੀਆਂ ਪੈਦਾ ਕਰਨ ਤੋਂ. ਸਿਆਣੇ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਚਿੰਤਾ ਚਿਖਾ ਬਰਾਬਰ.
Now he says that you see Sheikh Baram, God Almighty who has created this creation and who has created this play, he should be worried about it and he is worrying about it since he has to take care of it. Why should a man worry about all these things? Because his worrying will do nothing good, it will do nothing for him. He may become sick, he may invite the disease in the sicknesses, because the wise people say that the worries is just like the funeral pyre.
Nanak chinta mat karo, chinta tisi hi he, jal me jant upayan, tinna piroji de, uthe hat na hovi, na koi le na de, aur vich upaye sahra, tinna piroji de. ਨਾਨਕ ਚਿੰਤਾ ਮਤ ਕਰੋ, ਚਿੰਤਾ ਤਿਸੀ ਹੀ ਹੈ.
ਨਾਨਕ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਡੋਂਟ ਵਰੀ ਐਜ਼ ਹੀ ਹਿਮਸੈਲਫ ਵਰੀਜ਼. ਹੀ ਈਵਨ ਨਰਿਸ਼ਿਸ ਐਂਡ ਪ੍ਰੋਵਾਈਡਸ ਦ ਫੂਡ ਟੂ ਦ ਕ੍ਰੀਚਰਸ ਹੂ ਲਿਵ ਅੰਡਰ ਦ ਵਾਟਰਸ ਵੇਅਰ ਦੇਰ ਆਰ ਨੋ ਮਾਰਕੀਟਸ ਵੇਅਰ ਨੋ ਬਡੀ ਗਿਵਸ ਐਂਡ ਨੋ ਬਡੀ ਟੇਕਸ. ਹੀ ਈਵਨ ਨਰਿਸ਼ਿਸ ਦੋਜ਼ ਸੋਲਸ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਜ਼ ਕ੍ਰੀਚਰਸ ਹੂ ਲਿਵ ਇਨ ਦ ਸਿਟੀਜ਼. ਯੂ ਸ਼ੁਡ ਨਾਟ ਵਰੀ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਹੀ ਹੂ ਹੈਜ਼ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਟਡ ਦਿਸ ਕ੍ਰੀਏਸ਼ਨ ਵਰੀਜ਼.
ਸੋ ਕਰਤਾ ਚਿੰਤਾ ਕਰੇ ਜਿਨ ਉਪਾਇਆ ਜਗ ਤਿਸ ਜੁਹਾਰੀ ਸਵਾਸਥ ਤਿਸ ਦੀਵਾਨ ਅਪਗ.
ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਜਿਸਨੇ ਜੱਗ ਦੀ ਰਚਨਾ ਪੈਦਾ ਕੀਤੀ ਹੈ ਓਹਨੂੰ ਸਭ ਫਿਕਰ ਹੈ, ਅਸੀਂ ਓਹਨੂੰ ਨਿਮਸ਼ਕਾਰ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਭੁੱਲ ਹੈ, ਓਹਦਾ ਸੱਚਾ ਦਰਬਾਰ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਕਦੇ ਨਾਸ ਨੀ ਹੁੰਦਾ, ਫਨਾ ਨੀ ਹੁੰਦਾ, ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਕੋਈ ਡੰਡ ਦੇਣ ਵਾਲਾ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ, ਓਹਦਾ ਕੋਈ ਸ਼ਰੀਕ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ.
Now he said that he who has created this world is worried for all of us, and I salute to him. His court is unique. There is no one equal to him. I salute to him. He never forgets, and there is no one who can give him the punishment.
Nanak sache naam bin kya teka.
ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸ਼ੇਖ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ ਨੂੰ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ, ਦੇਖ ਵੀ ਪਿਆਰਿਆ, ਅਗਰ ਕਿਸੇ ਪਾਸ ਨਾਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਗਾ, ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦਾ ਗਾ, ਜਦ ਤੱਕ ਉਹ ਆਪਣੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਤੋਂ ਅਸੂਲ ਸੂਖਸ਼ਮ ਕਾਰਨ ਤਿੰਨੇ ਪੜਦੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਲਾਉਂਦਾ ਗਾ, ਤਸਮੇ ਦੁਆਰ ਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਪਹੁੰਚਦਾ ਗਾ, ਓਹਨੂੰ ਸੋਝੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਆਉਂਦੀ ਗੀ. ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਹ ਪੂਰਾ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਹਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਗਾ. ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਉਸ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਾਏ ਤੋਂ ਬਗੈਰ, ਉਹ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਤੋਂ ਬਗੈਰ, ਮੱਥੇ ਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਟਿੱਕੇ ਲਾਉਣੇ ਜਾਂ ਜੰਜੂ ਪਹਿਰਨਾ, ਬਾਹਰਲਾ ਕੋਈ ਵੀ ਚਿੰਨ ਭੇਖ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਬਣਾਉਣਾ, ਉਹਦਾ ਕੌਡੀ ਮੁੱਲ ਨਹੀਂ, ਉਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਕੋਈ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਆਉਂਦੀ.
ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਟੈਲਸ ਸ਼ੇਖ ਬਰਮ ਦੈਟ ਯੂ ਸੀ ਯੋਰ ਸ਼ੇਖ ਬਰਮ ਅਨਲੈਸ ਵਨ ਗੈਟਸ ਦੀ ਨਾਮ ਇਨੀਸ਼ੀਏਸ਼ਨ ਐਂਡ ਅਨਲੈਸ ਵਨ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਟਸ ਔਨ ਇਟ. Because unless we have the Naam initiation and unless we meditate on it, and unless we remove all these three vestures from our soul, physical, astral and causal, and unless we reach Dasma Dwar, we cannot get this understanding. If without getting the Naam initiation and going in the within, we are putting the signs on our forehead, or if we are wearing the sacred threads, or we are doing any other kind of outer rites and rituals, those rites and rituals and the outer signs which we are adopting do not have any meaning, because we do not get the real understanding unless we reach the Dasma Dwar.
Mahalla pehla lakh nekiyan changiyan lakh punna
ਪਿਆਰ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਹੈ ਹੁਣ ਬੋਲ ਰਹੇ ਹਾਂ, ਇਹ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਨੇ ਆਪਣੇ ਬੱਚਿਆਂ ਪ੍ਰਤੀ ਉਚਾਰਨ ਕੀਤਾ ਸੀ ਜਿਸ ਵੇਲੇ ਜੋਤੀ ਜੋਤ ਸਮਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ. ਸਿੱਖ ਇਤਿਹਾਸ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਇਹ ਖਾਸ ਲਿਖਿਆ ਹੋਇਆ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇ ਬੱਚੇ ਜੋਤੀ ਜੋਤ ਸਮਾਉਣ ਵੇਲੇ ਪਾਸ ਨਹੀਂ ਆਏ ਸਨ. ਸੱਚਾਈ ਤਾਂ ਇਹ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕਰਦੇ. ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸਾਵਣ ਸਿੰਘ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਸੀ, ਵੈਦ ਵਕੀਲ ਸੰਤ ਸਰਦਾਰੇ ਪਿੰਡ ਵਿੱਚ ਮਾਨ ਨਾ ਪਾਉਂਦੇ ਚਾਰੇ, ਨਾਨਕ ਦਾਦਕ ਤੇ ਘਰ ਬਾਲੀ ਇਹ ਵੀ ਰਹਿਣ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਤੋਂ ਖਾਲੀ. ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਤੋਂ ਨਾਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਲਿਆ ਸੀਗਾ. ਲਖਮੀ ਦਾਸ ਔਰ ਸ੍ਰੀ ਚੰਦ ਨੇ, ਸ੍ਰੀ ਚੰਦ ਨੇ ਅਵਿਨਾਸ਼ੀ ਮੁਨੀ ਨੂੰ ਗੁਰੂ ਧਾਰਨ ਕੀਤਾ ਸੀਗਾ. ਅਵਿਨਾਸ਼ੀ ਮੁਨੀ ਨੇ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਇਹ ਹੀ ਦੱਸਿਆ ਕਿ ਤੀਰਥਾਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਤਪ ਕਰੋ ਔਰ ਜਿਸਮ ਦੇ ਜਿਸਮ ਨੂੰ ਨੰਗਾ ਰੱਖੋ, ਸਿਰਫ ਇੱਕ ਅੱਗਾ ਪਿੱਛਾ ਹੀ ਟਕੋ, ਲੰਗੋਟ ਹੀ ਪਾਓ. ਔਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਆਖਰੀ ਟਾਈਮ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਤਰਸ ਖਾ ਕੇ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਵੀ ਆਹ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੋ, ਭਾਵੇਂ ਲੱਖਾਂ ਨੇਕੀਆਂ ਕਰੋ, ਲੱਖਾਂ ਚੰਗਿਆਈਆਂ ਕਰੋ, ਲੱਖਾਂ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਤੀਰਥਾਂ ਤੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਸਮਾਧੀਆਂ ਲਾਓ, ਅੱਖਾਂ ਨੀਚੋ, ਜੋ ਮਰਜ਼ੀ ਹੈ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਕਰੋ, ਇਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਦਰਬਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੌਡੀ ਵੀ ਕੰਮ ਨਹੀਂ.
ਦਿਸ ਹਿਮ ਵਿਚ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਰੀਡ ਨਾਓ is the hymn which Guru Nanak Dev Ji had said, referring to his children at the time when he was going back into the light, when he was leaving the physical body. At that time he had spoken this word, and this hymn was said for his children, because his children did not come near him when he left the body, because they did not believe in him. Master Sawan Singh Ji used to say that the doctors, the lawyers, the leaders and the saints, they do not get any appreciation and recognition in their own hometown, and even their maternal and paternal grandparents, and even the people of their family, they do not recognize them and they do not take any advantage of them. So like that, Guru Nanak Dev Ji's children, his two sons, Shri Chand and Lakshmi Chand, they both did not come near Guru Nanak when he was leaving the body. They were not initiated by him. Shri Chand had the initiation from a muni called Avinash Muni, and Avinash Muni had taught him only to perform the austerities on the bank of the rivers, and he had told him to keep his body naked, only to cover his lower organs from front and from back, and he had taught him to do outer rites and rituals. So even though Guru Nanak's children did not believe in him, still in the end Guru Nanak Sahib had pity for them, he had mercy for them, and graciously he is telling them that no matter if you do millions of good deeds, no matter if you are full of the good qualities, and no matter how many austerities you perform and do all kinds of outer rites and rituals, but in the court of Lord all these deeds are not appreciated, they do not have any place in the court of Lord as part of the devotion to him.
Or badi mashhoor gaddi Sri Chandi.
The world calls him Sawan. I am his intoxicated one. Laughing and laughing, he gave me the gift of immortal Kapal. Since I saw Sawan, I have hidden him in my eyes. I have never forgotten the way Sawan smiled. Sawan is beloved. Sawan is beautiful. Sawan is the owner of my heart. He was the radiant form who lives in the eyes. His style was unique. His glory was unique. Still I have not understood. Every day I cry. Every day I sing. People call me mad. White beard, broad forehead, tying a turban he came. Even the fairies bow down to him. And the moon has come out in the sky. The world searches for him outside, but he has given everyone the slip. Let us all go to Sirsa, Kripal proclaimed. Ajayb also sang, gracious Sawan has caused the drizzle to shower. Come, let us all have the darshan of the radiant form. The world calls him Sawan. I am his intoxicated one. Very happily, he gave me the gift of immortal Kripal. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 252.
Sawan, Sawan, duniya kendi, meyo dima sitani, hansida, hansida, degiya menu, kirpal marnishani. Sawan, Sawan, duniya kendi, meyo dima sitani, hansida, hansida, degiya menu, kirpal marnishani. Sawan, Sawan, duniya kendi, jadada Sawan najariya, palka vicha lukaya, aaj tak na bhulahi sakiya, jo Sawan muskaya. Jadada Sawan najariya, palka vicha lukaya, aaj tak na bhulahi sakiya, jo Sawan muskaya. Sawan pyara, Sawan sona, Sawan pyara, Sawan sona, Sawan dilbar jani, hansida, hansida, degiya menu, kirpal mar nishani. Sawan, Sawan, duniya ke. meyo dima sitani hansida degiya menu kirpal marnishani Sawana duniya kendi O siyeka nurani chehera Anka vicha samaya Choj nirali shana nirali Aj samaj na aya O si eka nurani chehera Anka vicha samaya Choj nirali shana nirali Aj samaj na aya Nita hi rova, nita hi gava Nita hi rova, nita hi gava Lokka hi na divani Hansida, hansida, dehi giya menu Kirpal marni shani Sawana dunia kendi Meyo dima sitani Hansida dehi giya menu Kirpal marni shani Sawana dunia kendi Chelo niseyo Chiti dari choda marta Pagaribana saja aya Pariyataka onu sajdehi kar diya Chanvi ambara chadaya Chiti dari choda mata Pagaribana saja aya Pariyata kaunu sajde kar diya Chanvi ambara chadaya Duniya onu bahar labdi Duniya onu bahar labdi Degiya ki tej kani Hansida degiya menu Kirpal marni shani Sawana duniya kendi Meyo dima sitani Hansida dehi giya menu Kirpal marni shani Sawana duniya kendi Chelo niseyo sirsanu chaliye Kirpal ne ho kalaya Sawande alune irima jimalai Ajayba ne vigaya Loni se yo sirsanu chaliye ਕਿਰਪਾ ਨੇ ਹੋ ਕਲਾਹੀਆ ਸਾਵਨ ਦਿਆਲੂ ਨੇਰੀ ਮਜੀ ਮਲਾਈ ਅਜਾਇਬ ਨੇ ਵੀ ਗਾਇਆ ਆਵੋ ਸਭ ਹੀ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਕਰੀਏ ਆਵੋ ਸਭ ਹੀ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਕਰੀਏ ਓ ਸੂਰਤ ਨੂਰਾਨੀ ਹੰਸਦਾ ਦੇਗੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਮਰਨੀ ਸ਼ਾਨੀ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਾਵਨ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਕਹਿੰਦੀ ਮੇਯੋ ਦੀ ਮਸਤਾਨੀ ਹੰਸਦਾ ਦੇਗੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਮਰਨੀ ਸ਼ਾਨੀ ਸਾਵਨ ਸਾਵਨ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਕਹਿੰਦੀ
The world calls him Sawan. I am his intoxicated one. Laughing and laughing, he gave me the gift of immortal Kripal. The world calls him Sawan. I am his intoxicated one. Very happily, he gave me the gift of immortal Kripal. May God bless us all.